introduce the town to the sport because no one's really seen it here.
Payne School brings back a major sports tournament after 25 years. At the same time, Skagway School is forced to cut the team that would have gone to that meet. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more coming up after this news.
If the calendar says the second weekend in November, and the Chilkat Valley has experienced the snow, a freeze or two, then it must be time for the annual Alaska Bald Eagle Festival. This year, the 16th annual event is scheduled for November 10th through the 14th and promises exciting new events and new visitors to this area. Why have a Bald Eagle Festival, you ask? According to Cheryl McRoberts, Director of Operations of the American Bald Eagle Foundation, it is to celebrate the annual return of the 3,000 to 4,000 eagles to this area. The festival is deliberately scheduled to coincide with the highest concentration of the raptors. To conduct the count, the director says that the citizen scientist students from Haynes High School will be doing the legwork.
Last year we had the high school students go out and count the eagles, and they counted, just stood there and counted over 2,300, and we estimate 3,000 to 4,000 eagles.
Other returning features include the photographer of the year. This year's photographer is Weldon Lee, who will be presenting workshops on Wednesday and Friday of the four-day event. The foundation had no difficulties on choosing him as photographer this year.
He is a fantastic photographer. We looked at his work. I met him a couple of years ago when he came up here to take pictures. I met him out on the preserve, and then I went online and saw his work, and he's just phenomenal.
Thursday evening, in conjunction with the Chocolate Extravaganza, Weldon will be performing a photography concert, a PowerPoint presentation set to music. A new setting to an annual feature is the Flight for Freedom, the release of a bald eagle back to the wild. Two eagles will be released in Klukwan, in conjunction with the new Chilkat Kwan cultural tour. The eagles will be released 1:30 in the afternoon on Saturday near the Longhouse. McRoberts explains how the two groups got together and the significance of conducting it in Klukwan this year.
I met with Lonnie Hotch, and we talked about combining the eagle release and just doing it up there, because that way the guests will also see the eagle release, but they'll also have the dancers, and the children are going to be dressed up in their regalia.
An additional focus is the visitors attending the festival. McRoberts estimates that about 200 registered guests normally attend from all over the world, including Spain, Ireland, the United Kingdom, and this year a group from Japan. But more locally, a group of 90 students from the University of Alaska Southeast Campus in Juneau will be attending the festival. These students in biology, ecology, and earth sciences will be attending with four professors here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Eagle Festival educational component is also going to the students and going on the road with presentations at the Haynes School. The Mosquito Lake School has also requested the festival to come there. The festival isn't 4 days of eagles, eagles, and more eagles. Several wildlife presentations and presentations of other birds are scheduled. Bears, mountain goats, sea ducks, and swans all have experts relating their studies and experience with the animals. Tied in with us for the first time will be a preview of another festival in April.
We actually have Carrie McCleland coming down. She's a wildlife viewing tech from the Yukon. She's going to be coming down and giving a presentation about the Swan Festival in April up in the Yukon.
Overall, there are still more eagles than people attending or participating in this Alaska Bald Eagle Festival. Like any intensive event, it takes a lot of time and volunteers for everything to run smoothly. Currently, the foundation has 6 volunteers and 6 staff. They are still looking for volunteers.
Yes, we need volunteers to check people in at the front desk. We need volunteers to work in the gift shop, to set up tables, to set up chairs. There's always something to do.
The 16th annual Alaska Bald Eagle Festival may sound like it's just about eagles, and it will cover almost everything about the exciting raptor. But the festival promises, through educational presentations and entertainment, to bring you everything you wanted to know about the bald eagles and animals of the Chilkat Valley, and more. Reporting for KHNS, this is Georgia Jacoby.
Glacier Bears wrestlers competed on home turf last weekend, hosting the big Southeast tournament of the year. It's a big deal to be the home team at that event, but even bigger if you consider that the last one that happened in Haines happened in the mid-1980s.
You know, it's kind of nice having that home meet, kind of introduce the town to the sport because no one's really seen it here. You know, that was pretty nice to have all that home support and let all the parents and grandparents and friends come and watch that, and it made a big difference. You know, the guys wrestled harder, and you know, it's nice to be back at home.
Dennis Durr is the Haines wrestling coach this year, and the Glacier Bears team roster is especially long, about 12 students, considering how new the team is. Haines went about 20 years without a wrestling team until it came back alive just recently.
Everybody's improving every week. That's the best thing we can hope for, is just kind of, you know, cranking it up a little bit and work, you know, pushing the guys a little harder in practice every week. It's a real short season, so you don't have a lot of time to get properly conditioned. You try and do what you can in the off season, but you know, right now we're starting to get into shape, and at this point, I'd say that, you know, we're kind of getting there, I guess, with where we want to be in shape now.
Durr is the new head coach of the Glacier Bears wrestlers. He's the same Dennis Durr who's been assistant coaching with Ed May since the sport was revived in the Chilkat Valley a couple years ago.
Chugach, Alaska is the high school I went to. I was a six-year wrestler there. You know, I wrestled junior high and high school. Made it to state, well, 3 years in high school there. And so we started back up 3 years ago, and I was kind of helping Ed there, assisting. And he got a job in Petersburg, and Tiana asked if I would want to coach, head coach this year, and I was able to do it with Burrow making kind of, they helped, you know, for me to get the time to do it, you know, by kind of adjusting my schedule a little bit, and that allowed me to travel with the guys.
Learning how to put on a home wrestling meet took a lot of people, says Durr. Parents pitched in to help time events, keep score, and house traveling athletes.
Overall, all the coaches are real happy that we did it, and everybody's real supportive with it.
But the home tournament got a little assistance from the Skagway School, too, since it wasn't using their wrestling mats this year.
We loaned Haines our mats. You know, we shipped them over there on the ferry, and they're shipping them back now, so that's great. We want to help kids do good things.
Jeffrey Thielbar is the school superintendent in Skagway. He says due to late budding interest in the sport from Skagway students, there is no Panthers wrestling team this year.
We tried to get students involved and see who it was. There was only one student in the entire school that was even interested in wrestling, so we canceled the program. That student just wasn't enough for us to be able to have an entire wrestling team.
But after wrestling season started, a student interested in the sport moved to the school and expressed interest just last week. However, Thielbar says it was too late to reinstitute the program, since Skagway already canceled attendance at meets and it would take at least 3 more weeks to hire and train a coach, and even more time to properly train athletes. By then, the season would be over, he added.
So we, the board, being that the students didn't like the decision that I gave them, and I don't blame them. You know, they're good kids, and they did the right thing. So they went around and got a little petition going and got some support and then came to the board, which luckily was meeting that very next Tuesday. And the board reviewed the decision and saw that there just wasn't time.
That's when the school board voted not to start wrestling later than usual this year. Thielbar says the long-term survival of the program is not at risk, though. The money exists to fund wrestling next year, and the school is professing their support. In the meantime, he says the school is willing to help local students form a wrestling team outside of school if they want.
No doubt. They have a club account, and that funding will stay right in that club account for them. Plus, the school would be happy, you know, before the season gets started to fund and allocate funding. We haven't, of course, done our budget for next year, but I have no intention of cutting wrestling. If we have kids that are interested at the beginning of the season and ready to go, shoot, we're going to do it.
Small schools throughout the country face the dilemma of whether or not to fund programs that have low student interest, as Skagway did with drama, debate, and forensics last year, and wrestling this year.
What I do is I've told the students here that if they have 4 kids and a coach, we'll try to help them out. So with DDF last year, they had, I think, 5 students initially, and then a few dropped out. Well, we're not going to stop a program once it gets going, and it's been funded. So this year, with the wrestling, of course, there was only 1 student prior to the season and 2 midway through.
Durr, with the Glacier Bears over in Haines, is made aware of the overflow benefits of extracurricular activities like wrestling. He says bringing an old sport back to town means big improvements have been made in the last year.
You know, for some of the kids, it's what it does is, you know, they can focus on a sport, you know, whether it be wrestling or basketball or track, and it makes some kids focus on school because they have to, you have to keep at least a 2.0 and you can't be failing classes. So academically, it keeps kids focused. And, you know, just the hard work in, that you learn in practice, that transpires on to the rest of your life.
And even outside of the school, Haynes' interest in wrestling is just now peaking. The Glacier Bears have competed in Cake, Ketchikan, and at a crowd-filled home tournament so far this year, putting them right in the middle of a six-tournament season that leads up to regionals and state. Similarly, Durr says the team could be ranked in the middle of the pack right now. He adds that even the youngest wrestlers on the team are representing Haynes well. That's good to hear, since the last wrestlers to compete in an official tournament in Haynes are now in their mid-40s.
You know, to do what we're doing now, I'm proud of the guys, you know, to be able to stick to it. And because, like I said, none of these guys have ever done it before. So, you know, we've got quite a few young guys, and they're, you know, you can see the improvement is drastic. You know, what you saw from last year, the guys that were started out last year and what they're doing this year, they're competing at a really high level already. You know, I guess it says that these guys are dedicated to it and they're willing to work hard and learn every day. And it's, in my guess, if they stick to it real hard, which they will, they're going to be, you know, some of the top competitors in the state, I think.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. Thanks for listening.